This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello everyone, welcome along. You're listening to the William Hill Golf Podcast with Dave Kellner and Mike Grenham, set for the Scottish Open and the John Deere Classic on the PGA Tour. But as ever, a quick reflection on what happened last week. And GMAC, Graham McDowell, Mike, defending his Open de France crown. And when the going gets tough, he gets going. And he is your archetypal grinder, Graham McDowell. And he managed to take advantage of Kevin Stadler's capitulation on the Sunday.
He did, yes. A grinder, is he? I suppose he is, yes. Is that a complimentary term?
I think it is a complimentary term on tough golf courses.
He's the Cliff Thorburn of
golf. It doesn't sound as complimentary when you put it like that, Mike. but he does manage to
get the job done.
In difficult conditions.
Yeah.
And on a golf course like Le Golf National, where we saw shots being gobbled up in that closing Sunday, he managed to shoot a 67 and come through a number of players. He was actually trading at 33-1 on Sunday morning.
Was he? Yeah.
So a terrific performance from Graham McDowell.
And well, he was about six off the lead, was he? Or was he even
further than that? Eight back and nine shot swing with Stadler.
You're not expecting to win when you're eight back with a day to go. Unless Kevin Stadler's winning, in which maybe you are. Poor old Kevin reverted to type there, having got a win on the US PGA Tour this season. And it was galling, really, if you feel for people.
And that put on the last as well.
Oh. That's what I was about to say. It was just, ouch. I mean, I'd have missed it myself, don't get me wrong, but I don't get paid to play golf.
I think you'd have made that one.
I wouldn't. Not with that pressure.
In the Greenbrier,
I'd miss from that far for a fiver, Dave.
In the Greenbrier, Angel Cabrera shot 64-64 over the weekend to win there. It's his first PGA Tour victory outside of the major championships, which is, for a player of his ability, a little bit mind-blowing, actually.
Yes, it is, yes. Yeah, he's one of those, and he just pops up with wins in the rarest of circumstances, really. But always plays well at the Masters, for example. He's a big game player, isn't he? He's a bit of a one-off Cabrera, isn't he?
He is. He is fantastic.
Kind of Jimenez type guy, just does what he wants, and whether he's trying totally every week, I don't know. I don't mean that in a nasty way, but just when he gets his head together, very good.
Very difficult to pick. It was his first top 10 finish on tour in 53 weeks. Last week, which is astonishing,
really.
In 53 events.
Wow.
Yeah, a bit of a surprise that Angel Cabrera popped up, but he has that innate ability, that talent.
Oh, Cabrera. He's certainly got the talent, hasn't he? So, yeah. Frustrating weekend, though. We had lots of players between in contention again going into the weekend, and that Chris Kirk being the classic example of someone who just collapsed.
David Hearn collapsed as well on Sunday, in particular. Pat Perez. It was a frustrating week. Very frustrating week.
I thought we were bound to get the last 2 weeks. We had really been in the mix going into the weekend and even into the Sundays, and we've ended up with nothing. So this is where it all turns.
It's been a little bit frustrating since the US Open, hasn't it, really? And hopefully we're going into major week next week, the Open Championship, and we've managed to bag the first two major winners, so hopefully that trend continues next week.
You've got it. Believe.
The Scottish Open is this week's European Tour event, the precursor to the Open Championship, and we've got a very strong field headed by Rory McIlroy, who is the 12-1 joint favourite now with Justin Rose. Phil Mickelson, 20-1, Jamie Donaldson and Lee Westwood and Luke Donald, all 25s. Francesco Molinari, Ian Poulter, Jimmy Walker and Ricky Fowler, all 33s. And it's 40-1 and bigger the rest. And for the first time, the event will be played at Royal Aberdeen on the Balgowney Links. And the last four Open Championships, the last four Open Champions have played in the Scottish Open before going on to win the Open Championship. Mm. So it's of little surprise, Mike, that the tournament's profile is increasing.
Yeah, well, the last three have been on links courses, haven't they? Before that, it was Loch Lomond. Is that right? I think I think got the years right there, which wasn't a links course. But unless it's absolutely horrendous weather, I don't understand why you wouldn't get a little bit of links experience and practice, more to the point, in the week before the Open, which is the one-off event of the year where, you know, top event is on the links course. So yeah, it's strange that more and more good players don't play. And I think that, I suppose, what you're saying is that the tide is turning and that everyone is beginning to play it apart from a few.
Yeah, I think so. It's the first time McIlroy has been in the field since 2009.
Yeah, good example.
So, which is a good example. And it does seem like ideal preparation. On the flip side, and you've just mentioned it there, if conditions do turn and it's bad weather, it can completely disrupt a player's swing.
It can. That is the risk.
If
it's really bad weather, horrendous, you know, weather, yeah, there is that risk. There's no question about that. And then, you know, it undermines confidence, messes up the swing. So that is the other side of the coin, yeah.
Yeah, but thinking back, that's not materialised in the last 3 or 4 years,
no,
has it?
No, it hasn't. And I don't think it will this year. I didn't look at the forecast this morning, but I don't think the forecast is due to be terrible, is it? So, I'd be willing to risk that, though, wouldn't you?
Definitely. The Balgownie course, by the way, is described as a classic links layout. It runs through the dunes and back along a plateau, an exposed piece of land, as you would expect. And even though conditions will have an effect on scoring, the fairways are tight and speedy this week. It looks like a course where accuracy from the tee could be key here, because it does look a tight venue, and it looks to be the ideal preparation for Hoylake, as we've mentioned already. I've got a couple of picks for the event, Mike.
I've got three, yeah. I expect all of them to be placed.
At the very least.
Yeah, confidence.
Go on, Micah. You tears off there.
Number one, we're recording this on Wednesday morning, and if we'd done it on Tuesday afternoon, we'd have had 66-1 about this guy, but he's been cut into 50s, which is a bit frustrating, as he's been picked by other people. But Shane Lowry is my headline pick.
Yep.
I'm sticking with him at 50s. I'd rather have the 66, obviously. But a great Lynx player. He was third in the Alfred Dunhill Lynx at the back end of last year. Should have won that, really. 30th or thereabouts in the Open. Good finishes in the Scottish Open a couple of years before that as well. And actually won his own native Irish Open in, I think it's 2009, on the Lynx course in Louth there when he was an amateur. So a really good, strong Lynx player. And he's in very good form, Dave. 12th in his last event, the BMW International. And preceding that, the other BMW-sponsored event, the PGA at Wentworth, he was second, 15th in Espana. He's just been in very good form. A couple of little blips before the BMW event, but this course should really suit him. He's in cracking form, and he's a decent price. Not quite as decent as he was yesterday, but still well worth a bet. I fancy him quite strongly.
50-1, Shane Lowry. We didn't talk about it in the pre-event focus, the pre-event chat we just had. Link's form has got to be crucial this week, hasn't it?
Oh yeah, I'm not massively looking at the stats this week, Dave, in terms of greens in reg for this event, greens regulation or driving distance or one thing or another in terms of the conventional stats, because all of them are recorded on courses that aren't links in the main, aren't they?
Yes.
80%, 90%, more 90% of the stats are recording on tracks that aren't configured in this manner. So I'm looking more at links form, absolutely, than stats and what.
Yeah, my guy's got amazing links form throughout his career.
Tom Watson.
A lot of experience as well. It could be Tom Watson. It's not far off. Ernie Els.
I knew you were going to say Ernie Els.
Ernie Els is my headline selection here at 66-1. I'll go a point each way. He's had a little bit of a disappointing season in the main, Mike.
Mm.
Only result to really shout about was his performance in the match play. But I think he could be rejuvenated this week with a return to the links, because his Open record is sensational, as well as his wins at Muirfield in 2002 and at Lytham in 2012. He's had another 11 top 10 finishes in his storied Open Championship history. He's won this event a couple of times as well, albeit at Loch Lomond, which is a very different golf course, back in 2000 and 2003. Record in the early to mid-noughties as well in the Alfred Dunhill Links was very good. I expect him to go really well at what I think is a decent price as well, 66-1 on Ernie Els. I think experienced heads might come to the fore at the end of the week, I'll take a chance with Ernest at 66-1, Mike.
Yeah, I get that, Dave. Horses for courses, man, absolutely there. Yeah, could be a decent price. You'd have to be worried about his form this year, though, wouldn't you?
Absolutely, and I'm hoping he gets off to a good start. He'll obviously want to be fully primed for the Open Championship next week, and I think 66-1 worth a pop.
No, I think it's a decent price. You know, I really do. Yep. What's he called? Stephen Gallagher is my second pick. I thought he was going to win the event last week because he started like on fire, didn't he?
He could have been 9-under through 14 holes there, and 5-under won the event.
He dropped off a little bit in France, didn't he, though? He finished top 20, 18th in the end, but he really started well. I must say I was really impressed with how he played the first day. I just thought he was in really, really good nick, having missed a couple of cuts on the back of some sensational form where he was setting in Norday, a fifth at Wentworth. Early in the season, was sixth in the Cadillac, which is a step up for him in a co-sanctioned event that's a higher level than the European Tour events. And don't forget, he won in Dubai earlier this year. So, Scottish guy, obviously, has won the Alfred Dunhill Links in the past, played well in the Open, the actual Open last year, and was a couple of years. He's had a couple of good finishes in the Alfred Dunhill event, and also has played well in this event at Castle Stewart as well. So. He's not without some blips on links courses, but he certainly has some very good form on them also. So I just think he's in very good nick. He'll be desperate to win this event, obviously. Mm. And 40-1 catches my eye for a man who's in good form.
I've got a man at 40-1 here that I like as well. Paul Casey is my selection at 40-1. Winning last season's Irish Open. I expected that to act as a springboard for this season. It's not quite materialised how he would have expected, and he's, I'm sure, intent on improving on his major championship record, which isn't phenomenal by any stretch of the imagination, but he's had a couple of chances to win this season on the PGA Tour, most notably when opening with a pair of 66s at the Memorial before faltering over the weekend and finishing 13th. He also missed a chance in New Orleans. I've been very impressed with the way he's striking the golf ball, though, this season so far, Paul Casey. He's just not been able to close, and his links form offers a lot of encouragement as well. He's got four top tens in 10 starts in the Dunhill Links, a couple of top tens in his last five appearances in the Open as well, and form in the UK is good. He's won a couple of times at Glen Eagles, and five of his 12 European Tour wins in total have come in the UK as well. The next step for Paul Casey has to be a major championship. This could be a stepping stone this week. And for a guy that's been in very, very good form all season, Paul Casey is a winner, and I think 40-1 is a good price.
Do you think he'll win a major?
Yes. Yes. Mm. I think he's more likely than Gallagher.
Oh, yeah.
Would you agree with
that? I didn't think Gallagher was going to win a major, though, did I?
I know you didn't.
Yeah, I'm not so sure he will do.
No, don't you think so?
No, I'm not. I don't know if he puts well enough. There's something that doesn't strike me as major winner about him.
I think he's got the mentality.
Do you?
I do. I think he's a very, very driven individual, and he's made the changes he's needed to make to try and take that next step. For instance, moving to the States and trying to improve his game. Form on the PGA Tour is improving as well. If he'd closed out, I know it's a big if, closed out a Memorial where those first two rounds to shoot a pair of 66s on that golf course was special, he wouldn't be anything near this price in this field, I don't think. So that's why I'm with him at 40s. But I understand the reservations you've got in terms of winning a major championship, because he's not really ever contended, has he?
No, he hasn't. He's got a lot, you know, he's got a lot of ability, but I just don't have him down as a winner. I've marked him as he's got a black mark to me. I know he's won events, but for his ability, you know, some people
there was
just
one
convert,
year in the Open,
not sure he will.
There was one year in the Open, wasn't there, where did he finish behind Oosthuizen in the end? He might have been miles behind Oosthuizen that year in that Open Championship, but he's not really got there.
No, he hasn't. Look, he could prove me wrong, but at the moment I've just got a little bit of a black mark against him. I think he's underpriced often, it was, is my view.
Okay.
I'm not saying he's the next Sergio Garcia, but he could be on the route.
Okay, okay. 40-1, I'll go with him.
Yeah, I can see his chance this week. I mean, said that, Dave, more than I could in a major.
Yep.
Yeah. If that makes sense. Well, of course it makes sense. It's easier to win than a major, isn't it?
It is.
Another player who won't win a major, Robert Carlsen, is my third pick here. Carlsen, I picked the week before.
Harsh on Big Bob.
Well, he isn't going to win. I don't think he'll win one.
I don't think he'll win one.
No. More chance of winning one than Casey, but not... No, I'm being mischievous. Very, very good player when he's at his best. He's had some ups and downs in a rollercoaster career, to be fair. But in his last four events, he's got a fourth and a sixth, including the fourth at the weekend there in Paris. Had a real chance of winning in the BMW International the other week when I tipped him. I just didn't convert on the Sunday afternoon, which has to be a slight concern, I guess. But again, a guy who can play well in links play. He's got a top 10 in the Open. He's got finished 14th in an Open in 2010, 7th in 2008. Has won the Alfred Dunhill Links, has finished 3rd in the Alfred Dunhill Links. Is playing very, very nice golf. Just needs to get that... needs to get that win on his back, because he's the slight worry would be if he's in contention, will he see it through? But I'm willing to give him a chance, certainly each way at 50s, I think. He is, isn't he, Dave?
Yes, yeah. He is.
For the form he's in, that's a good price for a player of his ability, I have to say. So, Robert Carlsen's pick number 3.
Good stuff. Good stuff. That completes the picks then.
I've got another one to mention. And I don't know whether am I allowed 4 picks? Probably not, but I'll put this one up as a top 10 bet, dear, because Rafael Jacqueline's a player I like in links play, yeah? And I'm interested in him. What price is he for the top 10? Can you find that? You're younger than me.
For the top 10, he is 18-1.
Yeah, I'm going to put that one in the mix, because he's about 200-1 for this event. Now, he's got, I think he was 8th in this event in 2013, played well in 2012 and 10. As well, has finished well in the Alfred Dunhill Links, as a top 10 in the 2011 Open. Very good links player at his best. His form has dropped off a cliff in the last 3 events, missed the cut 3 on the trot. Mm. But prior to that, had some solid form to his name. It's solid, not spectacular. There was a top 10 at Laguna. Yeah, 200-1. He's a good links player. If he can get his head together, could run well this week. Top 10 at 18-1, I'll put up as a bet.
Okay. Having a point on that then?
Yeah, I'll have 10 points on it. It's 180. 180!
Okay, Rafael Jacqueline to be in the top 10. Honourable mention time then here. I've got a few that I'll just mention quickly. I'm astonished that you've not gone for Joost Luiten.
Are you astonished?
I am absolutely astonished.
Yeah, well,
40-1, 15 points bigger than last week, and played well last week apart from the abysmal start.
Started badly, didn't he? He was about 4 over after 7 holes or something. Yeah, he was on my mind, Dave. He's number one on my players that I was going to mention. Again, he was a bit bigger earlier in the week, and the early people stole the prices. So his 50s, I don't know if he's 60-60s, but...
No, I don't think he touched that
50s,
price.
I think he was, wasn't he?
Yes.
I'm cheering him on. I've backed him to get in the Ryder Cup team, so I want him to do well. I think he has bits and bobs of good links form. Not so much in the UK, but perhaps on the Dutch. So I think he can play links. Cracking player. He just dropped off.
I had Shane Lowry on my list, who, of course, you've headlined this week.
Ooh, big mistake leaving him out.
Other players, Tommy Fleetwood, and a guy that I mentioned quite a little bit, Matthew Baldwin.
Yeah.
Who I think you said it. Well, he won't win. I think this was on last week's podcast. He won't win. He came close last week.
Where did he finish?
Finished 3rd in the end.
Told you he won't win.
Matthew Baldwin. And I might be barking up the wrong tree here, and you've said that I am in the past. Padraig Harrington. 80-1. He's coming back, Padraig Harrington. He's throwing in a couple of mares. Unfortunately, it's every round at the moment. but 80-1, Padraig Harrington. His links form needs no advertisement, does it? But 80-1, I think Harrington's He's on the way back, in my opinion.
Is he?
Just tinkers with his swing too much, doesn't he? I mean, he's in his own head too much. A lot of people say that about Trevor Immelman as well. I think Tony Johnston's mentioned that on Sky before, that he just almost gets in his own way.
Yes.
And he's thinking about things too much on the golf course rather than going out and just playing golf.
Well, that seems to be the case with Padraig, whatever he did after his great run of form to change his swing. Just didn't work, did it? I'd love to see him play well again, though. I was also looking at a couple of South Africans, Dave. Mm. If he's fit, Louis Oosthuizen is 50-1, and he's probably the third best player in the field on ability. After McIlroy and Mickelson, if he's fit, that would be a very big price. Obviously, won an Open. I think he's really talented, Louis Oosthuizen, but he's just withdrawing again from events, isn't he? So yeah. You couldn't, if he's going well in running, maybe have a few quid on him, I would suggest. Player that played well here last year, I was a little bit surprised he was as short 66, although it might have got a bit bigger than that. Brandon Grace has just been showing signs again of coming back to form. He is a links player in my mind. And as we know, once he gets his game face on, he can mop up events. Won an Alfred Dunhill Links, actually. So, that was it's a fascinating event. I'm really looking forward to seeing this course, Dave, aren't you?
Yeah, it's one of the oldest courses in the world, isn't it?
I think it's the
sixth oldest course in the world. I love links golf. Yeah. And to get to see this what the players are describing as a gem,
yeah.
Paul Laurie and Richie Ramsey are both members there,
yes,
and live nearby. They know all about this golf course and they can't wait to see the event being hosted by Balgowning Links at Royal Aberdeen. So I think the course is going to be spectacular.
Yeah, it's going to be great. Obviously, there are some unknowns in terms of players not having played there before, but that'll be more than made up for by seeing another great Links course. Or hopefully it's great. I've never seen it, obviously, but everything points to that. It should be a fascinating event. I don't really fancy McIlroy, do you?
No, I don't fancy McIlroy at all. I could see Rose playing very well, but he's 12-1, and that seems short enough. I think there's a few players towards the top of the betting that I thought were short enough.
Mickelson doesn't appeal.
No, Jamie Donaldson doesn't appeal at 25s, given that he was pretty much the same price last week and same price as Loughton last week, and Loughton's 15 points
bigger
this week.
Don't mention the free lunch bet.
No, I won't.
Which you won on that play.
Well,
tricked me into.
I tricked you into it, and I'm now four straight. So
yeah, 4-0.
Yeah, keep blowing my own trumpet there. We might come up with one at the end.
Luke Donald could play well this week.
He's showing signs. He's a good links player as well, isn't he? Because he's got such a good short game, Donald.
Yeah. Oh, brilliant.
Let's have a look at a different type of preparation event entirely. This is the John Deere Classic on the PGA Tour. Those making the trip from this venue to Hoylake next week won't have experienced any links play, and this is habitually one of the lowest scoring tracks on tour, TPC Deer Run, and strong wedge play and more importantly putting will be crucial this week. And Steve Stricker, who is the all-time leading money earner here, has won three straight titles from 2009 to 2011. He's second favourite behind Jordan Spieth. Spieth 8-1, Stricker 12-1. Zach Johnson, who has an incredible record at this venue as well, is 12-1. 20-1 Harris English. Ryan Moore 20-1. Chris Kirk 28-1. Chris Stroud is 33s. John Senden 33s. Kevin Na 33s. And it's 40s bar. Stricker and Johnson both have those incredible records around this venue, and it pretty much tells you all you need to know about the type of player suited to this test.
Yeah, you don't need to hit it a long way. Probably keep it fairly tidy off the tee and hit the greens and put like a god, and then you're away, aren't you? So that's it, really. It gives a lot of players a chance. It's not about the bombers particularly this week. It's just about what we've just said. And you score. Birdie.
Yeah, something north of 20 under par likely to win this event. And if you think you need to be hitting 55, 56, 57 greens in regulation, give yourself those birdie chances and just jar a few putts, basically. But it is an easy course. It's a short course and elevated tees, wide fairways, big greens. It can turn into a putting contest, this particular tournament.
Yeah.
I've got three picks here.
Go on, then.
I'm going to start off with John Senden. at 33-1, and I'll play him a point each way. A winner here in 2006, finished 12th here in 2010 and 4th in 2012, so it's clearly a venue that fits his eye. He got his win, which I think was a big win this season, in the Valspar Championship, and has subsequently had another three top 15 finishes on tour. He has been called names in the past. His resolution has been called into question. But I actually expect him to go on having won the Valspar Championship. And this is the logical place for him to get his next win. He's accurate from the tee, ranks 13th in greens in regulation, 12th in strokes gained putting, fits the Stricker mould, as it were. And I expect a big run, and I think 33 is fair, so I'll play John Sendon.
Fair dues, yeah, yeah. He was on my longer list. I've gone for a player who hasn't played here for a number of years. I think it's as far back as 2008 since he's played here. And when the three or four times he has turned up, hasn't really pulled up any trees, in truth, which is probably why he's missed out in the last 5 or 6 years. But I just think he's playing ever so well. Kevin Na is my pick here. On all the criteria that you probably need here, he interests me, and he's double carpet 33-1, so I'm going to give him a chance. Course form, very moderate. Best finish 32nd, but current form, fabulous. Didn't do great at Greenbrier, but before that, 12th in the US Open and 2nd at Memorial, where he's beaten in a playoff. Some good finishes ahead of that as well, including Pebble Beach, the Valspar, and the Valspar, where he was 4th and 2nd. So puts very well, top 30 for strokes gains putting, ditto birdie average, ditto scoring average, ditto par breakers. I'm just expecting him to, he's in good heart, and if he gets the ball rolling in the right way, I would expect Kevin Na could give them all a bit of a go this week.
33-1, Kevin Na. My second pick is a guy I mentioned on the podcast last week but didn't go for. I'm with him this week. Ben Martin is my second selection here at 50-1. I'm happy to see that his price has drifted a little bit on the back of last week's miscut. I actually don't think that the weekend off is a bad thing for him. It could actually be beneficial because he's played so much golf recently. Prior to that miscut, he'd made 7 straight cuts, placing at the Heritage and the Quicken Loans. I think TPC Deer Run will definitely suit him. He finished 38th here in 2011, and you look at that performance, that came amidst the spell of woeful golf. He'd missed a load of cuts, and that 38th stands out a little bit like a beacon. And he currently ranks 52nd in greens in regulation, 40th in strokes gained putting. He's a player that can get really hot with the putter, Ben Martin. Hopefully it happens this week. Improving young player. I think 50s is a good price.
Fair call, Dave.
Yep.
Yeah. My second pick is Daniel Summerhayes, who I picked a couple of weeks ago. Didn't do me much good, to be fair, but has some decent form this year. 2nd in Texas and has been playing consistently. I'm just hoping that he can build on last year's 4th in this event, where he played well. He's a very good putter, top 20 for putting on tour, and I just think, you know, that obviously the course form stands to his name. This looks like a course where the likes of Johnson, Stricker, Repeat do well, don't they?
Yeah, I think so. It didn't go that way last year with Spieth winning and David Hearn was in the playoff.
But Spieth might end up being a player that plays well here, mightn't he?
Absolutely.
Yeah, you know, you'd have to say that it looks like the sort of place where Spieth could contend every year like those guys have. I'm hoping that Daniel Summerhayes, who's no Jordan Spieth, to be fair, but I'm hoping that he can be another player who just loves the track and will benefit here. He certainly puts well enough. Some of his other stats probably aren't quite as encouraging, but at 66-1, I'm willing to give him a little bit of a try.
It's almost as if I've passed the Summerhayes baton to you. We're running a relay here. I picked him a few times in the early part of the season, and now the baton has been passed. Yeah. But I think he's very talented, Summerhayes. Really,
yeah,
is.
I do.
66-1. My third
He's
selection.
On probation, though. If he doesn't play well this week, he might be in the naughty boy list.
The black squiggle.
Yeah, he'll be on the bottom step.
My third pick here, also 66-1. Luke Guthrie is my third pick. He hasn't quite had the season I expected him to have, but definite encouragement last week at the Greenbrier, where he finished in a tie for 26. This is a home game for him. He was born in Illinois, I believe. He definitely went to the university in Illinois and finished 5th on debut here before missing the cut last season. He actually ranked second in strokes gained putting last week at the Greenbrier, which I think augurs well, definitely.
He's a good player, Dave, isn't he?
Very good player. Very aggressive player as well, which is something we've not really spoken about. I think aggression's important here. You need to have a strong wedge game, don't you, obviously, and you've got to go after the flags.
Of course you have.
Must go after the flags. So yep. I'm taking a chance with Luke Guthrie at 66-1 as my third pick, a point each way.
Fair call, Dave. I'm sticking with Sangmoon Bae, who I picked last week. Great putter, top 10 for strokes gained putting on tour, and decent birdie average stats and par breaker stats. Has been in reasonable form, was 24th at Travellers, missed the cut in the Quicken Loans, but did bounce back with his 16th in the Greenbrier, where he had one horrible little spell on Friday, I think it was, where he dropped four or five shots in four holes. If is a small word, but a big word in this context. If that hadn't have happened, he'd have been right in the money, to be fair. He wasn't that far off, you know, getting place, but he just had a little spell that just put him slightly out of contention. But got lots of birdies to make up for it. So I'm hoping that this guy, his one win, Dave, it was a 13 under at Byron Nelson last season on tour. So yeah, he does suit events where you've got to go low, I think. So five top 25s this season. I'm really hoping that he can do the business for me this week at 100-1. He's a very talented player and can't half put well. So if he can get the ball in the right place, his putting will do the rest.
Yeah, I like him. Sangmoon Bae, 100-1. Let's have a look at some players that just missed the cut, Mike, for you.
For me, Dave, who missed the cut? Kevin Streelman, probably. I'm really looking at him at 50s and thinking, well, he's just won and he was top 10 here last year. He's a quality player. I was looking at Michael Thompson, who has some good form here and is in decent form. So they were two that were close. If I'm being really, really honest, though, you know that the standing dishes here were tempting.
Yes.
The Strickers, the Johnsons. You're thinking, how are these guys going to be out of the money almost? I don't know what you thought.
Definitely with Stricker. I prefer Stricker to Johnson this week at 12-1.
They both play ever so well here, don't they?
Stricker showed something last week at the Greenbrier, didn't he? And with him coming back to this venue, having that run under his belt, you'd think it might have blown the cobwebs away. He does target this event, doesn't he? Because
he's had a
rich association with John Deere as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Whereas Zach Johnson's not in the same sort of form.
No, but he's... Well, no, not currently. This season, though, he's been playing well, hasn't he? So, yeah, I do hear what you're saying. I absolutely do. The only other player... But
I think Spieth's woofully underpriced, by the way. I think
8-1, yeah, I
think
agree.
He should be bigger than Stricker in this event.
Yeah, I do. I'd go along with you there. I think Spieth is too short at 8s. Harris English was on my mind, but he's too short at 20s. So, I quite liked his chance, but I didn't when I saw 20, when my heart sank. So, yeah, it's one of those weeks where you need someone to go low, so it brings a lot more players into it, as we've said before. But yeah, I'd go along with you. I wouldn't be backing Spieth at 8s, as good as he is.
I'm just hoping the two guys that I picked last week, Kirk and Hearn, don't go well.
Kirk's down to 28-1.
Yeah,
he was dreadful.
It was.
Was it the third round? He was absolutely.
He bounced back on the Sunday, but he was just after the way he'd hit it in day one. I think he hit 17 of 18 greens in reg. Set up numerous birdie opportunities, was bang there for the weekend, settled down on Saturday, and he'd blown his chance after 25-30 minutes.
I was following it on Shot Tracker, and I needed counselling after it. It was that depressing. It was just woeful. So he's on the naughty step.
Again, David Hearn's a shorter price than he was last week, and he had an incredibly poor. I know, you can't discount someone's chances based on one bad round,
no, but
these two guys really threw in a couple of horrors on an easy track last week.
They did, and their prices are shorter,
yes.
Which means that we're not saying they can't win, but they're not great value, are they? So,
no.
there was players lower down the betting that you could fancy if it's a real putting contest, which it should be. So, it's one of those where there's a hell of a lot of players have a chance this week.
Okay, let's. Who's the player you don't want to win just before we recap then?
The player I don't want to win is probably Streelman.
Yeah, I think my player that I don't want to win is probably Harrington, Harrington.
Oh, in the European?
In the European.
In the European, it'd be And I do want him winning away, Loveton. Yeah, I want him to win, yeah. Who's Tyson May be in that event? Because if he's fit, 50s is big in that field.
Yeah, and I wouldn't want to see either Kirk or Hurt. I know they're short, but I wouldn't want to see either of those win after what happened last week in the American event. Just to recap your selection, starting off with the Scottish Open, Mike.
In the Scottish Open, I'm going... let's see what the staking is. I haven't even thought about that, to be fair. I'll have a point each way on all of these. In fact... Yeah. If Lowry was 66, I'd have had a point and a half each way. But I'll stick with a point each way. Lowry, Shane Lowry at 50s, Stephen Gallagher at 40s, and Robert Carlson at 50s, I think.
Yes.
Your Scottish Open picks?
My Scottish Open picks. I'm going a point each way Ernie Els at 66s, and a point each way Paul Casey at 40s.
And in the American event, I'm going not as much on a couple of the guys. A point each way on Kevin Na at 33s to... finally play well at this event, and then just a half a point each way on Daniel Summerhayes at 66s. Oh no, I'm going to have a point each way on Sam Moonbeam. I think he'll play well this week at 100s.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going a point each way John Sendon, 33s. Point each way Ben Martin, 50s. Point each way Luke Guthrie at 66-1. Don't forget your top 10 bet as well.
My top 10 bet on Scottish Raphael Open. Jacqueline. Absolutely.
Raphael Jacqueline, yeah, point on that at 18-1.
Yeah. I've got one other thing to mention, David, is the US Senior Open this week.
Ah, it is, isn't it?
Which I've actually studied quite a lot already and was close to selection but ran out of time before this podcast. But I'll definitely tweet if I do have a bet or fancy anything. We're at the major season on the Senior Tour. Langer won the last one. Monty the one before. Some cracking players playing, some interesting newcomers to the tour. Champions Tour, so really good event this week. The senior, well, as you'd expect, the US Senior Open to be. Looking forward to that. I'll almost certainly have a bet, and I will tweet
at M Grenham. If you want to follow Mike on Twitter, you can follow myself on Twitter at D Kellner.
And you'll be tweeting bets, what you do,
left, right,
usual.
And centre. Left, right, and centre.
Yeah, every decade.
And at Golf Twit Tipster to follow a Golf Twitter Tipster, the competition that we sponsor. Thank you for listening to this week's golf podcast. Just before we completely finish this, are we putting the free lunch on hold until you catch up with them?
Well, we haven't got one this week, have
no,
we?
We haven't.
No, I haven't given it any thought, and I'm fed up buying sandwiches for you.
Thank you for listening to the podcast, folks, and for myself and Mike signing off this week. We'll be back for the big one next week at Hoylake, the Open Championship. Speak soon.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.